Department brought in a drone to search from the air. Sauk County dive team was also dispatched. Emergency crews were first dispatched to the boat launch around 6:30 last night, but had to stop searching a couple hours later due to visibility and the weather. Officials have asked the public not to help in the search because they already have enough resources on the water. Company that provides home and respite care to elderly and disabled people around Wisconsin plans to end operations next month and lay off 700 employees. Gemini Cares, based in Slinger, has employees in 11 communities in Wisconsin. Its notice to the State Department of Workforce Development says its current clients will be transferred to the care of other agencies. This is WPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Emma, email marketing for the modern brand, featuring email marketing software, automation tools to send personalized messages, and built-in analytics on desktop and mobile devices. Learn more at myemma.com.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like Majestic Theater, Fox City's Performing Arts, and Wine Guys play a huge role in the success of WPR. Your business can join our ever-growing list of supporters. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Portabella Italian Restaurant, featuring homemade Italian dinners, steaks, and seafood. Open during the hub construction with parking available across the street. Portabella, 425 North Francis Street, Madison.
It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later, a guest makes the case that elections should be fun in order to really get people engaged in politics and out to the polls.
First, since Governor Walker unveiled his state budget proposal in early February, the University of Wisconsin system has been looking for ways to deal with a proposed cut of $300 million over 2 years. This week, a handful of UW schools are proposing a significant raise in tuition for a few categories of students in order to try to make things to make ends meet.
UW-Madison, along with eight other schools, want to increase tuition on graduate, international, and non-resident students. They'll make their case to the Board of Regents later this week. Meanwhile, UW-Oshkosh announced today they'll be ending two of the college's sports programs as a cost-cutting measure.
Joining us now to talk about the latest University of Wisconsin system news is Karen Herzog. She covers higher education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So let's start with the news about the proposed tuition hike. In particular, which groups of students are being eyed for higher tuition?
I would say that the majority of the money that they're hoping to generate through tuition increases would come from non-residents. That would be the largest number of students. If you look at the proposal from UW-Madison, Chancellor Blank has put forth a four-year plan. Now, I don't know that the regents could actually approve a four-year plan because they typically are just looking at a budget year. But over 4 years, non-resident undergrad tuition increase that's on the table would generate a total of $147.4 million. And all of the increases that are on the table from UW-Madison, including the professional schools, total $186 million. So you can see that the vast majority is the non-resident undergrads.
And we're also taking a look at, it sounds like, international students and grad students. They're being talked about as well, right?
That's correct. International students, the thinking behind raising tuition for international students is that there are higher costs associated with these students, the handling costs for their applications, and also monitoring requirements that have been put forth by the federal government since 9/11, monitoring requirements of students. So what they're looking at doing potentially is creating a differential, a $1,000 a year increase. And this is Madison. This isn't across the board for all the campuses, but this is Madison, so that those students would pay $1,000 more a year, and then they would their increases in the following years would be the same as non-resident students.
Can you give us a sense of how these new changes, should they go through, would position the University of Wisconsin system as compared to other Big Ten schools in tuition?
Well, there was an interesting case made for UW-Madison's increases. Of course, the flagship is the one that gets the biggest attention and has got the most comparison with the Big Ten other schools. And in the case of tuition for non-resident undergrads, Chancellor Blank points out that if the increases went through, Wisconsin would still be $5,000 less than Michigan for out-of-state tuition, and that's what Michigan currently charges. And it would not be any higher than fourth or fifth in the Big Ten by 2018-19 if the schedule of increases over the next 4 years went through, according to the chancellor. In terms of the other campuses, UW-Milwaukee is also asking to raise non-resident tuition for both undergrad and grad students by a much smaller percentage, 2.5%. The increase at Madison is 11.75%. So much smaller increases at UW-Milwaukee and also the other comprehensive schools. And in the case of, I think there's a couple of graduate programs at UW-Milwaukee, and those increases are like in the neighborhood of 3 to 5.5%.
We're talking right now about some possible tuition hikes for certain groups of students at the UW-Madison campus and beyond, other schools in the system as well. Talking with Karen Herzog right now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And one big question on people's mind, Karen, is does this, would this, and could this affect the reciprocity agreement that has existed for a long time between Wisconsin and Minnesota?
That's a great question. As far as I can tell, it's not on the table for discussion. And there's been a lot of talk about that because, of course, there's concern among parents who want to send their students to Twin Cities is the big campus that Wisconsin students attend. But there are also cross-border exchanges, like UW-River Falls gets a lot of students from just across the border in Minnesota. But at this point, there's nothing on the table about changing that, although there are some people who believe that Minnesota students, you could generate a whole lot more money if you considered them non-residents as opposed to residents at the flagship, especially. Somebody today was telling me that represents about $50 million if Minnesota residents attending UW-Madison were charged as non-residents. So it's something that could eventually be on the table, but I'm not getting any indication that anyone wants to put it on the table.
And right now, the tuition for resident undergrads is frozen. Is there any sense that this could change over the next 4 or 5 years?
Well, I think it's a done deal that it will continue for the next 2 years. Beyond that, it's anybody's guess. But the tuition freeze for undergrad residents has been in place for the past 2 years, including this school year. And so a four-year freeze, and then the big question is what happens after the 4 years. Now, the public authority model is still on the table, but I don't think it's going anywhere, which would allow the UW system to set its own tuition. I don't think that's going to go anywhere. The governor's also talked about perhaps putting a cap on future increases to the consumer price index. So it's hard to say. The fear, of course, is that if you freeze tuition for 4 years in a row, that you're going to have to make up for some lost ground at the end of those 4 years, and that would be followed by a huge tuition increase. Of course, the regents will tell you that's not likely. The chancellors will say the same thing because they say the market just would not bear that.
Now, looking at the single biggest proposed tuition increase being requested right now for non-resident students is in UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. They're looking for a 20% hike. What is the justification there?
That's a really interesting story. A month or so, the latest U.S. News and World Report's best graduate school rankings came out. And in those rankings, UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine tied for number 5 in the whole country with Ohio State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. And the price that a student from Illinois pays to attend number 5 UW-Madison is less than they would pay to attend their own home state school, Illinois, which is ranked number 19. So they're getting a bargain when they cross the border, and quite a few of them do that. So the belief was that tuition definitely needed to be raised because it's a strong enough program, and also it was so far under market.
Any sense of how this news is going over with student groups so far?
Well, no students want increases in tuition. Non-resident students, I'm sure there are a lot of families who would be upset about that. And, of course, you do run the risk when you raise tuition that, you know, that it's going to be not as attractive to families. You know, some people like to attend the school because it is a bargain. And if it's no longer a bargain, if it's more in line with peers, does it still have the same drawing power? That's the big question. In the past, I believe, I can't remember when it was, but in the past there was a lot of discussion about raising non-resident undergrad tuition, and there was a backlash. And I believe that's a rather sensitive matter, although it does allow the university to generate quite a bit of additional revenue.
You had an interesting fact in your piece I want to ask you about. You wrote that in 1980, a family could send three children to UW-Madison for the cost of sending one child to the flagship today, adjusted for inflation. So in a minute or two, what has changed?
Well, it used to be that state funding covered a majority of the cost of education. It used to be the tuition covered 30% of the cost of an education, and the state covered 70%. And that's now the opposite. The burden of paying for a college education is now much more on families than it was a generation ago. A generation ago, someone could literally work their way through college with summer jobs and you know, reasonable amount of hours during the school year. Now that is no longer possible. You just can't do that. So that there is a significantly higher burden being borne by tuition as opposed to the state. The state has significantly reduced its contribution.
One more bit of news I want to point out. The UW-Oshkosh is making news with the announcement that they'll be cutting two sports programs. What do we know about that?
Well, the decision to cut these programs, I believe, was perhaps in motion before the budget cuts. So while it's being tied to the proposed cuts, there was in 2010, there was an analysis done on the athletics department structure, and there was a financial audit done last year, and what they were looking at is which programs offer the most bang for the buck. They looked at whether the sport had a conference championship to participate in, and just basically making sure that the experience would be optimal for student athletes. So as a result of the analysis, they decided to cut tennis and men's soccer. Men's tennis and men's soccer, and then they're combining men's and women's track and field and men's and women's cross country under restructured coaching staff. So the program cuts, the soccer and tennis cuts, affect a total of about 35 students, and then they also would reduce the number of coaching positions by two. So there would then be 19 varsity sports instead of 21.
Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking with Karen Herzog, higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us to talk about the latest cost-cutting measures proposed by some schools in the UW system. And later in the program, we'll talk to a Wisconsin businessman and political blogger about his ideas to change the university system so it's closer to the business community and the citizens of the state.